a village, but that place of Mount Hermon represents the place of the blessing, where God commanded the blessing. And instead of them going to the blessing, they just rather stay in the village with everybody else. And so we got that in us. We sometimes belittle ourselves, and we can't see ourselves having the blessing. We doubt ourselves about getting what God has in store for us. We doubt ourselves by coming into unity with others so that we can have victory in this life. I wish I had somebody. That's what Psalm 133 reading. He said that there is where the Lord commanded the blessing. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. It's like the oil that flowed from the hair, even down to the beard and upon the skirts of Aaron, the priesthood. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us are just like the Hivites. We live in the place where the anointing flows. We won't get under the anointing. But we won't go to the blessing. We fear and we won't take the next step because ain't nobody in my village taking that step. So we'll just next step right here. No, I'm satisfied with taking this step. I'm satisfied with not taking a step of faith. I'm satisfied with not taking a leap of faith. I have anybody to say, I'm tired of being a Hivite, and I'm going to step out of faith, and I'm going to be called in God, and I'm going to be. I hope I help somebody today. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to give you a picture here. Trying to show you the shadow. What God is saying to us. He says in verse 4, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which commanded their father by the hand of Moses. I like that. You know why? Because if God commanded, that means his commands didn't change. He said, I gave them to the fathers, and I want the sons to do it. I gave them to the fathers and the mothers. I want the daughters to do it. Amen. And what we find today is that people are saying that God changes his mind about stuff. But the Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to all those preachers who are saying that God changes his mind about certain things, I want to tell them that they are lying the truth.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries staff.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to St. John chapter 16, verse 33. And it reads, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have in the world. tribulation. I shall but deal with you. Overcome the world. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, he says that the things that he spoke unto us were important. And for a little while, I want to speak from the subject. I'm not talking just to be talking. I'm not talking just to be talking. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Then he makes it clear, in the world you shall have tribulation. But then he encourages by saying, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And one of the things that I want us to look at as we enter into our text, in verse 33, he starts off, these things I have spoken unto you. But if you would go back to verse 1, he says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Now listen, in verse 1, he's literally talking about being prepared. Being prepared. But in verse 33, he's saying, because of all I've said to you, I want you to have peace. Because between verse 1 and verse 33, they represent the slices of bread. But verse 2 through 32 represents the meat. So sandwiched in between verse 1 and verse 33, there are five areas that you must be clear to understand that represents the meat of the text. He deals first with predictions, because he starts telling you about there are some folk who are fooled by the enemy, who are twisted and satanically filled, who think that if they kill you, they're doing God a favor. He says, I want you to know this is coming. He was telling them and getting them ready for his departure, for his leaving planet Earth to return to the Father to make all things ready for us. But he's going on. But not only does he talk about predictions, but he goes on and he deals with principles. Then he goes on to deal with problems. Then he goes on to deal with points. And then he goes on to deal with promises. So you've got predictions, you've got principles, you got problems, you got points, and he goes on and he promises. He goes on to make all of this clear in that, because at the end of all that he's saying, he was not saying it to trouble them, but to prepare them. And see, some people don't want to know what the future holds. They want to be led around ignorantly. They want to go around not knowing what the future holds, not knowing what is to come, not knowing what to expect. They want to go waking up being surprised that this happened and that happened. What's going on? Well, if you would read the word, you'd find out. We're living in the last of the last of the last days. The signs of the time are clear. There are some things that happen now that didn't happen when I was a child, and vice versa, and things that you will know and our parents knew and their grandparents knew didn't happen then, but we're getting in the end of the end. God didn't tell us all of the stuff that he's told us, revealed through Jesus, all that he has to tell us to scare us. It's to prepare you. Now listen at this. There are some things Jesus was too wise to tell us. Told his disciple, there are many things I desire to tell you, but you can't handle them now. Paul said the same thing to his disciples. There are many things I desire to share with you, but you cannot handle them now. You see, one of the things that I love about the Lord is he knows his children. Some of us try to act sanctimonious and holier than thou and act like we're stronger than we are, and we can't handle a little flinch like we can't handle a little trouble. We can't handle a few problems without breaking down all the way to the ground. He said, if you can't handle this, you sure can't handle what I really won't tell you. That's why many of us don't understand when he prayed to the Father on our behalf in the model prayer. He said, give us this day. He said, give us bread. Because we can handle a supply beyond today. You cannot. Matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, listen, you shouldn't borrow from tomorrow's trouble. Why worry about tomorrow when you're having troubles making it through today? One day at a time. That's all we can truly handle. And so when we learn how to make the best out of each day, then we learn how to live according to the word of God. But then God starts bringing us to a place of understanding through the knowledge of his word. What is at hand of us? The knowledge of us in there be into us. What's the point of that? I'm glad you asked. The point of preparing and giving us a preview about things to come is so you don't freak out when they come. That the Lord can say to you, trust me. As a matter of fact, I'm not excited about what happened because I already told you this was going to happen. So what you're missing is the fact that he already made preparations and provisions for what has or will happen even before it happened. As a matter of fact, since the foundation of the world. So that's why God doesn't have to get in a hurry. Stop by here, stop by there. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He has the ability to do all things. That's why he doesn't have to get in a rush. Because one of the things, again, we noted from his word, that his power is so awesome that if he chooses to wait 4 days, when he gets to the grave, he can still reverse the process. And when you got that kind of power, you ain't got to be in a hurry about nothing. And so Jesus was really just trying to prepare them for all of the things that was to come. And you read those in your own private devotional time. But again, that's the meat of what he's saying in the 16th chapter. And when we get down to that 33rd verse, again, the word says, these things I have spoken unto you. Now listen, he's saying, again, these things I'm saying, I'm not saying just to be saying. The Lord Jesus never talked just to be talking. How many of you will agree with that? He was always filling the hearers' ears with principles, with power, with points, with everything that was necessary to build them up and to bring them to the place where God wanted them to be. Nothing in this word can you ever find where Jesus was simply talking to be talking. So if that's the case, it's the lesson for us to learn here. So if that's the case, again discover that these things that I have said unto you, and here it is, that represents the purpose. These things that I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. The purpose for talking to us after sharing all of these dark things and difficult things is the fact that he wants us to, one, be in relationship with him. The purpose for telling us that, because he says, but the purpose for telling you might have so here, the purpose is peace. But peace can't come unless you have relationship with him. Because he says, in me. And because Isaiah 9 and 6 ends up with saying he's the Prince of Peace. Well, that means if you're in him, then you also have peace. You can't escape it. It's all in him. It's a part of him. It's the makeup of him. He doesn't have to get peace. Peace is already gotten. So if you're in him, you automatically have peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. That passeth all peace that's pure. Not like this world gives it. The peace that's unhypocritical. Not based upon feelings, happenings, or emotions. But true, pure peace. He says, you might have it if you're in me. So what does this teach us? That if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you really ain't got no peace. If you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how much folks try to reassure you, no matter how many times you go back over the figures, no matter how much you got stacked up and stored up for rainy day, you just ain't got no peace. Because whatever you can't control, you don't have peace with the situation or the circumstances. But he controls it all. And so to understand, he's talking to us that the purpose of the peace of God. Without the peace of God, they're scared to ask them. They're scared they might say something to them. If you don't have the peace of God, you don't have good sleep. You don't have good in turn. Until you go to God in prayer and work it out and leave it there, and then accept the working that he provides once you've given it over to him. Without the peace, you don't have the strong convictions on the peace, and what I say, he will fall. See, but the difference is being in relationship and connection with God. That's that you can't wait on him unless you got peace. The devil will do too much to you. You can't sit there. As a matter of fact, the man that was possessed never sat down in his right mind. He was falling in the fire and into the water and cutting himself. Always move. Peaceless folk, a nervous folk. Always one. Can't sit down a minute. Can't rest themselves. Always running. Always going. Always on the phone. Always running. Don't know what peace is. Don't just be quiet. Always running. Gotta have music on out there. It's got to have the TV on. Got to have some noise because they can't stand what they hear without the peace. Of God. You're so used to the noise of the world that you can't enjoy the peace of God. Sometimes I don't want to hear no radio. I just want to ride and hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes I don't want to look at no television. just want to dwell in his presence. Sometimes I don't feel like talking on the telephone. Don't feel like texting. Don't feel like tweeting. Don't want my face on nobody's book. Sometimes I just want to hang out with God. Don't want the disturbances of the world. Because there's so much that comes from him in fellowship with him. He teaches us things we could never know unless we spent time with him. So the purpose of talking in verse 33 is to remind us that all that he said from verse 32 to verse 2 was to help us understand that in him we should find peace. But now we move from peace to problems. Listen, because the next part of the verse says, in this world. In this world. Ye shall in this world. He moves from peace to problems. Now listen, he's trying to tell you, if you got peace, you can handle your problems. But the problem is, with most of us, the reason we can't handle our problems is because we ain't got no peace. And even in the alphabets, P, listen, peace of God, P-E, comes before P-R. Y'all gonna catch that. If your peace is in place, it doesn't matter what problem comes before you, you can handle it by the grace of God. Listen at this. So he says, don't be fooled. In this world, the place we presently reside, ye shall have tribulation. What is tribulation but a plethora of problems? A plethora of problems, a towering trials and tumultuous temptations. You're going to have temptations in this world. So don't pray to the Lord, move my mountains. Or give me strength to climb. But say to the Lord, Lord, according to your word, I can speak to this mountain. God gets so tired of you telling him, move this mountain, Lord. Give me strength to climb this mountain, Lord. He said, if you read my word, all you got to do is speak to the mountain, and it shall be removed unto you. Whatever comes your way, I've already provided for it. Yeah, you're going to have some problems. Don't get here and think that because you belong to the Lord that you're not going to have problems. Jesus said, listen at this. If the world hates you, no. Touch somebody and say no. That it hated me before it hated you. It's not Jesus. You know what many of us don't realize? That we ought to thank God for haters. I didn't understand the purpose of haters at one point in my life, and I was praying that God would get rid of all of the haters, but I like haters to hang around now. because it was haters who said I wouldn't make it. It was haters who said that I wouldn't come through this. It was haters that see how God, in spite of trouble, in spite of trials, in spite of tribulations, still working, still show. It's because of haters that God is still showing them that he's in control. He can conquer and change everything. I need some haters to see what the Lord is doing for me. I need haters to say the Lord sure enough loves John Montgomery. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on his side, he wouldn't be here right now. So thank God for the haters. So you church folk get happy and shout inside here, but you don't go outside and tell the stories, but haters go out and tell the story. I saw that Negro. He looked mighty good to be a dead man. Y'all catch that on your way home. Yeah. I thank God for haters. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Of problems. Not just one problem. Not just a few problems. But everywhere you turn, there's a problem over here. And a problem over there. Here a problem, there a problem, everywhere. But I've noticed with God, everywhere there's a problem, so I don't see problems like I used to see it. Because when a problem show up, I know God is giving extra power to conquer that problem. Are y'all hearing me today? Stop being so whiny and crying. Accept the peace of God on the inside. And know this ain't your battle. It's God's battle. And everything you need to be victorious, God has already included in your situation. If you got peace, you got power. Have I got a witness? But then he goes on, listen, after he tells us about the problems, he then moves on and says, but be of good cheer. And this word cheer literally has a connective meaning with a bubbly excitement, a somewhat inebriated state. Yeah. You remember in Acts when the men of God got so happy. And they were just excited. Folk thought they were drunk. And they had to tell them it's too early in the morning for that kind of stuff. The cheer that I have, the joy that I have comes from Jesus. It don't come from no Smirnoff, no vodka, no Jimmy Beam, no Jack Daniel, no none of that mess. Comes from the Holy Ghost. I have good cheer, and it don't come from no cup or no bottle. This joy that I have, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And when the world sees me, they know there's a power that's in me that's greater than he that is in the world. And so we see a prize example. A prime example who has won the prize.